We've come to the fourth and final parsha, which describes the building of the Mishkan. In this parsha, which rarely gets any publicity, since Parshas Pekudei is almost always connected to Parshas Vayakal, and sometimes it's also Parshas HaChodesh as well, we get to examine Parshas Pekudei this year in detail as it stands alone. The Mishkan is going to go up, and we have a final accounting of everything that was donated. Where did all those donations go? What happened to them? How was the Mishkan built? When we see all the details, we are astounded by how much was invested through Bezalel and through Ahaliyev and all the Chachmei Lev and the Nashim Chachmei Lev who contributed, all the work that was done, and of course the many Nisim which had to occur for the Mishkan to stand. I want to go back actually to the very foundations of the Mishkan, the very beginning of the Mishkan, which already began back in the days of Avraham Avinu. When it says about Avram, Vayita Eshel Be'er Sheva, he planted a tree in Be'er Sheva. Chazal, one of the opinions of Chazal is that he planted Arazim, he planted the trees that would be used in the Mishkan. Later on, when Yaakov is on his way down to Mitzrayim, it says that they stopped off in Be'er Sheva along the way. And the question is, what were they doing in Be'er Sheva? Why did they have to stop in Be'er Sheva on the way down to Mitzrayim? And the answer is that they stopped to find these arazim, these trees that his grandfather had planted in Be'er Sheva, that Avraham Avinu had planted. He went to see how they were doing. And when he checked on them, he saw that they were smooth. They had no splinters, no cracks, no deformities. And therefore, he brought them down to Mitzrayim. Yes, there are endless cedar trees in Mitzrayim, but he wanted these ones, the ones his grandfather had planted. He replanted these trees, and they grew and flourished. Before he died, he called his sons together, and he told them everything that would happen. Ba'acharis hayamim, you will be here in Mitzrayim for many, many years, but then you will get out, and when you go out, you will be headed back to Eretz Yisrael. When you leave Mitzrayim, take these arazim with you, take these trees with you, and also take the stick, my stick, with which I crossed the Yarden, and keep this makel with you at all times. They did. They listened to Yaakov Avinu, and when they left Mitzrayim, they took the trees out with them, and it is these atzei shittim that they used to build the Mishkan. And of course, when we hear this, we understand that we missed an obvious question. Where are they finding cedar trees in the Midbar if they hadn't taken it out with them? They're in a desert. Cedar trees don't grow in a desert. They must have had them with them. And so they built, they used these trees to build the walls of the Mishkan. But then there was a piece of the Mishkan that had to be added. It was called the Briach HaTichon, the middle connector, the stick that was going to run through the entire Mishkan to connect the whole thing and have it stand together. The walls of the Mishkan were 32 amas long, and it was difficult to understand where are we going to find a stick that is 32 amas long that would be able to, one unified stick, go through the entire Mishkan. And there are others that say that not only did the stick, there was one stick for each side of the Mishkan, but that miraculously this Briach HaTichon was going to curve in middle and miraculously go through all three sides. With the Mishkan was shaped as a ches, and they needed a stick that would curve that was 70 amos long. Where possibly could they find a stick that was this long and that would curve? They asked Serach Bas Asher, and she told them, that's why Yaakov said to take out my stick, my makel. Shevet Yehuda has been holding on to it. And she said, go and ask them. And they gave them the stick. Sefer Eitz Yosef, quoting a medrash, as well as the Das Genim and others, say that they were able to use the stick, which miraculously lengthened, turned, and held up the foundations of the Mishkan. There's a few lessons that we can learn from this medrash, from this story. Number one, without the avos, we wouldn't have a Mishkan. The foundation, the cause, the reason for our success is the inspiration that we get from those who have come before us. The generation of the Midbar may have done the actual technical work, and they did, but it was built of the wood of the grandfathers. And so too with everything that we do. We are the ones that are producing, we are the ones that are investing, we are the ones that are building, but we're building on the shoulders of those who have come before us. Without their material, without the wood, we wouldn't be able to succeed. The wood, the Midrash takes time to explain to us that the wood that Yaakov found from the trees that Avram had planted was smooth and without cracks. And this symbolizes the unity, the connection, and the cohesiveness. Any small crack would have impacted the connection of all the walls, which is needed. When we are building a Mishkan, it has to be smooth. It has to be without fissures, without cracks. But the main thing, the main reason for putting up the Mishkan, the important goal of the Mishkan, was not to build a beautiful building, not to build beautiful structures, not to have that beautiful tapestry. It was that the Shekhinah should come down and rest in Klal Yisrael. We are building the Mishkan so that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should rest there. The words Mishkan and Mikdash are used interchangeably. And what it's coming to tell us is that what we have to do is take all the very physical material donations that are given and connect it to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, be mekadesh it, bring kedusha into the structure, and thereby to the world, and then Mishkan, it's a place where the Shekhinah rests. When we do ours, when we take everything that we have and use it to bring to create a Kiddush Hashem and to bring Kiddusha to the world and to our world, then we are zeichet to having it become a Mishkan, a place where the Shekhinah rests. It says in the Pasuk, Va'asu li mikdash, make for me a mikdash. That's our part. Our part, our work is take it and make it Kaddish. Take everything that I have given you. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has given us so much. What are we doing with that? All of our possessions, all of our skills, our talents, our strength, take it and make it Kaddish for me. That's our part. And then if we do our part, V'shachanti b'secha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises us, I will come and I will rest in it. If we take our world and use everything that we learned from the past generations to build a Kedusha, a structure of Kedusha, then V'shachanti b'secha, Hashem will rest the Shekhinah amongst us. This is not just something that happened back then in the Midbar. This is our constant, difficult, and most important job. We need a lot of koyach and a lot of siyata d'shmaya. And so we end this parsha with a chazak chazak v'nischazek. We know our mission, we know our goal, and we have to strengthen ourselves to accomplish what it is that we need to be doing.